distance, very often, and stayed with my sister Ruth Miriam Whitehead, who lived in Iona.
Where was Iona located?
That was 3 miles to the southeast of where my mother lived.
And
it was 7 miles out east from Idaho Falls.
7 miles east of Idaho Falls.
Of Idaho Falls. And we were farther north from Idaho Falls, so we had to go south and east to get to Iona. I walked much of the time, then my brother-in-law, Ben Ritchie, would let me take a pony, and I'd ride a pony over there on the Sunday morning early, and I'd stay to the Sunday meetings, and then the MIA meetings on Monday night, and then chorus practice another night, so I was in Iona a great deal of the time, and stayed with my sister Ruth Miriam, and...
About how old were you at this time?
I think I was 14, 15, 16, let's see. Oh, I think I was more like 16 and 17 at that time.
That old?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you had been in Idaho since you were in the sixth grade?
Well, I was in the seventh grade for a short time, for half a term.
In Idaho?
No, in Ogden.
At Mount Forest School?
Yeah, I came back and stayed with my sister Annie to complete schooling. I wanted so much to get through school, and I stayed with her and went back to school in the seventh grade for a time. But I went back to Idaho, and I was very active in the church. Some of the family criticized me to a certain extent for being over-religious and going walking so far to get to church, and they thought I should stay home and work on the ranch more, but that, I didn't like that. I stayed with my sister over there, and I belonged to the choir. I taught a Sunday school class. I became a secretary of the YLMIA, and then a first counselor, then a second counselor, YLMIA. And there's a patriarch in the ward who is also the caretaker at the meeting house. And he used to come over and unlock the door and let us in for the meetings. And he would sit down. We had our MIA meetings up on the stand and in the choir seats. And he would sit down and wait until our meetings were ended and so he could lock up. And one time we were having a testimony meeting. And he was a patriarch, and I asked him if he would come up and talk to the girls. I was a counselor then. And he did. He came up and bore his testimony and gave a fine talk to the girls. And after the meeting, when I went to leave, he says, "Sister Tracy, come back here a few minutes, will you? I feel impressed to give you a blessing." And he had me sit down, and he put his hands on his head and gave me a wonderful blessing.
Put his hands on your head?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Had you had a patriarchal blessing before
this?
Not
then, no. But later I did.
Do you know what he said? Some of the things he said?
Well, I have it. But I haven't read it for quite a long time. But he did promise me some wonderful things, that I would become a mother in Israel. And I believe he said that my seed should be known throughout all generations of time. I think that's in there, and that's been fulfilled, I'm sure, because I'm very proud of our five sons and their accomplishments. Now, I never did care too much for things in Idaho because there didn't seem to be any more schooling for me, any chance to advance or get anywhere. And I didn't like being a household drudge cooking for hired men and seeing so much food all the time, my sister really loaded that table with food. There wasn't another place to put a dish on, a food on the table. She'd put it on the sideboard for always cooking. And the Thrashers always had some of their machinery break down while they was there so they could stay longer because of her fine cooking and the way she fed them.
This was all ranch country with houses few and far between?
Yes. And it was just cooking and that type of work, and I wanted something else.
Were these dry farms or what?
Oh, no.
Didn't have dry farms yet, I guess.
They had plenty of irrigation water there. No, they were not dry farms. They were hardly heard of in those days. So I came back to Utah.
About how old were you when you came back to Utah?
Well, I was between 17 and 18. And I worked around at different places anywhere to have a home. I worked for Bishop of the Ward at that time, Thomas Powell, and his wife had a baby. I went and
this was in Marriott?
In Marriott. And I worked for the Zimmer family. They were not members of the church, but they paid me well and treated me good. I worked their home for a while, was active in the ward and church.
Zimmer was kind of a fruit farmer, wasn't
he? Yes, he was a fruit farmer. He had a large packing house there. And I went there to see if I could get work in the packing plant, packing fruit. And she says, oh, I wish you'd come and help me in the home. I need someone so bad. She says, I'll pay you just the same money as you would make out there packing fruit. So that's how I came to be in their home.
What did you do? Help with the cooking and
she
take care of the kids
family,
or what?
Yes, just helped around the house. She did most of the cooking because she was such a wonderful cook. She was known throughout, well, all over Ogden for her ability as a cook. She had friends come out from Ogden to visit real often and enjoy her cooking, so she took care of that. But she taught me many things that I've never forgotten about cooking. I learned a great deal from her about canning fruit and doing different things like that. And I just kept the kitchen clean. They kept their bedrooms clean. I didn't have a great deal to do. And they were very nice to me. And then I don't just remember what happened after that. I think it was from there that I went to the sewing school in Salt Lake, to the Keister Sewing School. I wanted to learn how to do something else besides keep house, cook, and I went down and found out what the setup was there, and the man and his wife had charge of it. They did drafting, taught me how to make patterns and how to sew, and I remember that it was many of those that came there to have their sewing done were prominent women in the church. Bathsheba Smith came there and had her sewing done, and I assisted in making a dress for her. And I learned how to sew, and then when I graduated from that class, I attempted taking in sewing, and I got a place to live where I could work part-time for my board and keep, and then sew.
Where was the house?
It was in Salt Lake City, and I don't just remember.
See, didn't you say this, one of the houses where you worked for your board was at about...
Well, that was afterwards. I didn't make much at sewing. I didn't have the business ability or the training in a business way. And this place where I stayed for a time, she let me make her clothes. She had me make her clothing and to pay for or my board and room there. And then finally she said, why don't you give up sewing and just go on full time taking care of my household work. And I was discouraged, so I did. I quit sewing. And then later I went to this other place that was advertised and I could make more money there. So she, it was a boarding house and she paid me well. I helped with the cooking and dishwashing and such.
You were in Salt Lake for about 2 years?
I was down there about 2 years altogether. And then I decided to come back to Ogden. Well, my sister Myra's husband, William Koob, wrote and told me that his brother, Bert Koob, that operated the Koob grocery store, wanted someone to take care of his bookkeeping and handle the cash register. And he thought that would be good for me. I'd had training. And my mother thought that they didn't like me down in Salt Lake alone. They wanted me up here, so I came.
Was your mother back in Ogden now?
No, she was still in Idaho.
She was still in Idaho.
But I came up, so I came up and stayed with Sister Myra and her husband at their home at 129 30th Street in Ogden. And the store that his brother owned was at 245 30th Street. About him having me come up to work in the store, was that it?
Yes.
I think I must have been around 19 at that time. And so I started work at the Coop Meat and Grocery Company store at 245 30th, just a block up from my brother-in-law's place. And he had a small office there. I took care of a little bookkeeping there was to be done and was cashier. And they were real satisfied with the way I kept things going. And I stayed there, I guess, for about 7 years. And most of that time I lived with Sister Myra and her husband.
Right there on 30th Street?
At 129 30th Street. And then I wanted to change. Mother had come down from Idaho. And while I was with Coops, part of the time we lived above the store. He had lived there, but had built him a nice home next door at the store. And so he rented that upstairs to Mother and myself and my sister Blanche, that came down from Idaho with her, my younger sister. And we lived up there for some time. And Mother went back and forth between Ogden and Idaho Falls, staying with the children up there part-time. Left Blanche with me. And as time went on, I wanted a change. I grew tired of working at Coop's. And I went down to the Wilson Brothers Grocery on 28th and Wall and did the same type of work there, taking care of the cash register and the bookkeeping.
Do they pay you better money?
No. I got about the same wage there as I did at Coop's.
What kind of wages did they pay in those days anyway? How much did they pay you?
Well, not very much. I just don't remember. But of course, a little money went for. They bought more things in those days than it does now. It seems to me that I started at Coop's for about $1 a day.
$1 a day?
Mm-hmm. But my pay was raised a little as I went along. And then I started night school at the Smithsonian Business College while I was at Wilson's. And they raised my pay a little bit each, every 6 months or so while I was there. But I took the course in shorthand and bookkeeping at the Smithsonian Business College. And then they were able to place me in a job at the Ogden Furniture and Carpet Company.
Now let's go back to Wilson's. That's where you met Dad, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Why don't you tell us something about that?
The most important thing, of course. sometimes when I wasn't busy, real busy in the office, I'd come out and help with the wait on trade, just to get out and move around a little. They didn't mind.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Mrs. Hall that came in here to do the shopping, and she always wanted me to wait on her. She took a notion to me. She had a son named Howard, and she says, why don't you go up to Wilson's and make a date with that lovely girl up there? She says, she's just the kind of a girl for a fellow to go out with. Go up and make a date with her. But he was a little shy and backward, but he would come in the store, and I waited on him. And he always come and wanted me to wait on him after that in the store. So one time he asked me for a date. He was not a member of the church. And I refused to go out with him.
How did you know he wasn't a member?
Well, his parents weren't. I knew that. And his mother was a Mormon hater, definitely.
It's funny that she'd send her boy up
neighbors.
To see you.
She
did she know you were a Mormon?
Oh, yes. But she liked me just the same. And her neighbors were apostate Mormons. And they pulled the church down. She really wasn't to blame. They told her terrible stories about the Mormons, these apostates. And
what
she
were
believed
their names?
Pardon?
What were the apostates' names?
Oh, I've forgotten now. I just don't remember.
Where did Grandma Hall live at that time? Was it on Benford or somewhere else?
No, it was down below the railroad tracks over in there. You had to cross the railroad tracks to get their home, I believe.
It's down on 29th and Pacific or somewhere down in there.
Yeah, on Pacific. That's where it was.
Mm-hmm.
So the railroad bought all that property, and they moved up on Binford. And it was near the store where I worked. And Howard came in real often, tried to date me, and I refused him. And Mr. Wilson, Tom Wilson, my boss, says, why don't you go out with Howard? He isn't a member of your church, but he says the cleaner, finer man never lived than he is. He's a whole lot better fellow than a lot of these Mormon boys that are running around here. So
was Mr. Wilson a Mormon?
Jack Mormon.
Oh.
So I finally consented, and I found him to be a perfect gentleman, and he treated me wonderful. He took me to the best shows, only the best. They are something I had never been able to afford. I went to
at the Orpheum?
At the Orpheum. I went to cheap movies when I went to any for amusement. But he took me to the Orpheum, and I forget some of the plays that were on at that time. But, oh, it was wonderful. And we always walked home to my brother Coop's there on 30th. My brother-in-law's home. And he was a perfect gentleman always. So we went together for some time, and he was interested in politics. Now, what party was it?
Socialist, wasn't it?
Socialist Party. In fact, he had run on the ticket of the Socialist Party, but didn't win out.
I didn't know that. What did he run for?
I don't know. Don't remember. But John McGregor, a friend, a good Mormon, was a socialist. And they used to do stump speaking on a box in City Hall Park. And he was always along with John McGregor on those speeches at City Hall Park. So all the way home from the show, he would talk socialism to me. But he didn't get very far. As fast as he talked socialism, I talked Mormonism. And I went out. I guess I was a little quicker and a little better speaker, but he soon dropped socialism and listened to what I had to say about the restored gospel. And he said, well, I've heard this before. He says, I went to work for a fellow down the southern part of the state who was a Mormon bishop.